Hello and welcome, people. Welcome back to the show. This is Average Awareness, as always. Your host here, as always, Jake Aware on Instagram. This is Jeff. He's not on social media, but we call him Jeff. We're not going to give our government names out because we don't think it's that important. You already know our government names. But we thought it was important to get our get another episode in. A lot to talk about, a lot going on around the world, a lot of simple things going on maybe in our lives that we could talk about, you know what I mean, pharmaceutically, things like that, maybe addictions, maybe things of that sort, maybe how our work has been going the past few weeks. Whether or not we may be drafted into some sort of war that me and Jeff are not here to support in any way, unless someone somehow attacks us on our soil, then we may have to put our boots on, you know what I mean? And there's a gun show happening here locally down the street from Jeff's house, literally maybe about a mile and a half away from here, which Jeff just refuses to go to, which is a funny thing because I think his people are there.
Well,
I think the people that but let me finish his introduction. But Jeff doesn't seem to want to go there and get some ammunition in case Ukraine or Russia does intrude, or China. But that's my intro. It's about a 2-minute intro to the podcast. Jeff is here. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks. And definitely happy to be here with you on this fine day. And yes, there is a gun show. There is a lot.
March 25th, 2023. Jesus. It's 2:36 p.m.
Flying by. The time is flying by. But yeah, definitely, it's always good to get together on a frequent basis. You know, we're officially in spring here. Daylight savings times has occurred. And, you know, with that, I guess there's people out there taking advantage of a gun show. Now, I will say I don't necessarily refuse to go. I just will say right now I'm not willing to invest any additional funds into firearms.
I think this is an important time to do so.
I mean, and definitely that might be, you know, a good, you know, that's a fair, I guess, opinion given the state of some things, right? So yeah, there's a lot going on. I guess, you know, first and foremost, I guess, you know, and maybe that's almost a way to frame the conversation in a sense is, you know, some of those threats out there that might be going on that might cause you to want to go to a gun show and stock up.
If there's individuals going to school shootings, I mean, how many places? I was watching a podcast and they were like naming off places. Has there been a shooting there?
Right.
Just random places. Rudy's, you know what I mean? Or TGIF or Buffalo Wild Wings. You could look up any place. The mall, Dillard's, JCPenney. There's been a shooting there.
In our specific city in
America. Okay. Let me be specific.
Yeah.
In America, there's been a shooting at any sort of place that you can name. Walmart, obviously.
Right.
People like to do that. Or supermarkets, which is a disturbing trend. Which is kind of weird that we get so excited about a gun show where Jeff and I can just walk in. Jeff doesn't seem to agree with this because we're just not on par with the laws. But I think if Jeff and I were to go there after this, we can just go and maybe not buy a pistol on site, but we can go buy some sort of rifle, long rifle, of course. We have a law here where 18-year-olds can buy long rifles, but they can't buy a fucking cigarette. Which is an interesting conversation in itself.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's kind of the conversation I guess we could have here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thing is, right, with the gun show, you know.
You think it's obviously, like people showing off guns in like a,
no,
in
I,
a manner. It, this is not what I'm,
no,
I, let me explain what a gun show is.
Yeah, first off, I do know, I've been to gun shows. I'll
selling
put it
guns,
way.
Right?
Yes, it's basically, you know, you could think of it like a flea market for gun sales almost, like
exactly.
in a very odd way. And I will say it's not just, you know, guns, but anything that would go along with guns. So apparel, it can be even, you know, knives. Stuff relating to hunting, knives.
I bought a knife last time.
Stuff like that.
I think I got COVID last time I went, but I did get a little blade for, you know, retail, a little bit above retail, God forbid, but you're there, you're looking at cool stuff. Well, but I could have got it.
It's a place where, you know, smaller sellers can go, right?
Yeah,
it's obviously not a Cabela's or something like that. And that's the other thing too, is if people have collections, some people are going there for antique specialty type of weapons that are, you know, it's not like they're just trying to find any gun possible.
What kills the most people?
Yeah, no one is asking. Jesus Christ. No one is asking that. But I will say, I'm definitely willing to admit, I don't know all of the laws. And the thing that's tricky here, right, is obviously it's going to vary state to state. So a gun show in New Mexico can be very different than a gun show in a different state that allows gun shows, but maybe has different rules around it.
I don't think they're having
There's some states that aren't even going to allow gun shows.
That's what I was gonna
there's say. That's the other thing. But yeah, I mean, I just think
it is a small loophole. In my opinion, like, we can go there right now. It's set up at like a convention center.
Yeah,
and me and Jeff could walk out, shotgun on a shoulder, rifle on the other. You know what I mean? If you got the cash.
Yeah.
And you have the means.
Exactly.
Or we could, you know what I mean? Like you said, an antique pistol that you're very interested in, very rare, and someone has it there.
Yeah.
Or very rare ammo. Ammo's not easy to come by either.
Yeah.
I could have a rare gun that takes a rare fucking ammunition that you can't find any. And you can't get shit online.
You could probably even find like bow and arrow related stuff or archery.
Yep.
You know, because like I said, it, even though it's called a gun show and that's probably the main focus, you know, sellers know that, okay, there's a certain culture around gun shows that is, you know, part of a hunting, fishing, outdoors culture in a sense too, right?
Yeah, but there is going to...
But the focus is going to be guns, right?
Yes, the focus isn't hunting. There are hunting expos and fishing expos that do come through, but this is... it's basically tables set up. You kind of just go around. You know, you'll have your flea market... Like knife table, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it has switchblades and knives that are quote unquote illegal to have. Like, you're not supposed to be able to have a switchblade or like a butterfly knife,
right?
But people sell them. It's just weird as fuck. I don't understand. Our laws are just so fucked up. Like, you can't go smoke weed in Texas, but I could go buy a bong. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, but there's a guy, the number one podcaster in the world, sits there and fucking does shrooms and weed and whippets in Texas, and nothing happens to him. So let's start to, this is the stereotype that I like. This is the freedom that I like. This is the type of shit me and Jeff may or may not be sitting here doing edibles and digesting in something that's completely fine for adults to do. But we're not. As if you're drinking right now, you know what I mean? Same thing. But for a guy to sit in Texas, number one podcaster in the world, in a completely red state, to admit to like frequent drug use is a dangerous place, in my opinion. But they seem to not give a fuck. He's not hurting anybody.
Well,
he's not like handing out drugs to people.
Here's the thing, right? And sometimes this comes down to perceived harm, right? So this is why, you know, when you go to a gun show, a weapon has a certain connotation that, you know, can seem dangerous to some people, right? Where, you know, someone just talking about usage, like, you know, he's obviously in a state that doesn't allow that sort of stuff, but he's also someone who, you know, you could say, oh, well, I'm just referring to some past usage. Especially with
like, this has nothing to do. Let me be clear. Nothing to do with gun shows. I'm just saying it's kind of a different thing. But he's openly using drugs in Texas.
But is he doing it on air?
Yes.
I mean, see, yeah, and
that's where it gets.
But that's my point about perception. Who cares? Right?
Yeah, but it's clearly.
But if he was setting up a convention center to sell drugs to people,
sure,
you know, that's a different thing, right? And obviously, with the gun show, that's a different thing.
Like, you have friends around. He drinks on the podcast. Drinks coffee. Drinks fucking alcohol. Smokes, obviously. Like, Snoop Dogg's not going to sit there and fucking not smoke for fucking 3 hours, no matter the state. You know what I mean? This is where we get into a weird thing of, we're kind of not really a democracy. We're more of a, I saw some dude on Instagram, not one time in the fucking Constitution does it say democracy anywhere. Like, I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily know how true that is either. And I will say, our country wasn't set up to be a pure democracy. We were set up to be a, you know,
I don't think we're set up to just go out and fucking enforce crazy drug laws anymore.
Well, no, I mean,
hopefully
the point is when the country was set up, though, the idea was that it was a representative democracy, right? Where we vote in certain representatives to then vote in a democratic way on different things, right? So we don't necessarily get to vote on every single thing that happens in the country or in the states. The idea is that we vote in lawmakers who go in with our best interest. Now, that's obviously a whole different conversation, right? And I, you know, they don't always do that.
Sure.
But
what's your opinion on the biggest podcaster sitting there openly, you know what I mean, saying these? It's funny, in my opinion. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think, you know.
What are they going to do, raid him?
Well, I guess, you know, that you can argue that they could, right? But, you know, you have to have a proof of a crime. I mean, the other thing is, yeah, what's exactly happening?
Like a motherfucker, what's his name? Ari Shaffir, who's literally doing whippets. Like a fucking can fill of CO2 and just taking rips on the fucking.
But see,
you can watch this.
So that's the thing, though, is that's not Rogan doing it.
For sure.
So you could argue that, oh, well, that person came here, he did it, he's not here anymore.
Yes, what am I supposed and that's to do? That case.
Right. You know, what am I supposed to do?
Sure.
But, you know.
He did say the other day, it was funny, he said that he did 30 days in a row of 1 gram of mushrooms, which is something I may be interested in. 1 gram for 30 days straight.
Yeah, and I mean, and they're doing trials, and I guess, you know, it is a fine line to walk. I mean, I think, you know, it's something that, yeah, there's a privilege to being wealthy in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, you know, obviously he can probably get away with some of this stuff that, you know, if a normal person were to tell their employer they're doing something illegal like that.
Well, this is the beauty of it. There's more, because of people like that, possibly more open usage of dialogue, if you will.
No, and I agree.
With more people like that, there's more stuff to be researched and more. Without people, well, like, that's what I was thinking.
That's
like,
already happening, though, I would say. That's part of why someone like Rogan's probably open to being a little more open about it. Also, I would argue, though, Rogan's been he's put himself out there on that, you know, is willing to do that sort of stuff. But I do agree. I even was watching I was watching the new Bill Burr comedy special on Netflix, and he was talking about, like, his first time doing mushrooms. And I was thinking, well, he was in Red Rocks, at the Red Rocks in Colorado. Right.
You're
in a state that's basically made decriminalization for mushrooms, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think you could just buy mushrooms.
You're getting into we are getting into a place where there's definitely a changing regulation on that.
It's fantastic.
And that's the thing, right? Is maybe one day there will be a convention where you can go and look at paraphernalia and mushrooms and weed and all kinds of weird shit, right?
Oh, there are. There are 100%.
But not where they're openly selling that. Not at least.
Yeah, that's what's crazy, right? We could go to this goddamn convention center and go buy a fucking gun that could just wipe out everyone at the convention center.
Right.
But we can't fucking go to that same convention center and set up, like you said, like a community type weed fucking kind of.
Yeah, you can't set up party. A mushroom stand
no.
at the gun show.
Well, you can't have a mushroom show.
Right, exactly. At least not now, or at least not in this state, right? And that's my point about changing perceptions. You know, and definitely I think, you know.
Well, that's
sometimes
the key.
Perceptions change, you know, for the better. Sometimes they change for the worse, and they ebb and flow.
I think
right?
we've censored ourselves a little bit on drug use here on this show, which is a shame. You know what I mean? No, at the end of the day, it is because we shouldn't be here to, like, hide our former or current usage of anything. You know what I mean? As human beings, you shouldn't be in denial of, you know what I mean? If you want to talk about it or explore your fucking ways of doing things, you can.
No, and I agree.
And I don't think we should sit here and be like, oh, I'm not going to.
We've never been a show that shies from free speech.
No,
right?
God, no.
For God's sakes, people, if you, you know, listen to any episode. But I mean, I agree. Now, the other thing, though, too, you know, and like you said, I mean, I guess it's just about, you know, finding the right way to discuss those things or how they're pertinent, also how they're discussed, right? Because there can be people who talk about their past, you know, past shenanigans in certain Bogarty kind of, you know, prideful ways.
An interesting way.
I just think it could depend on, you know, who's doing it, right? I'm not necessarily saying that.
I used to do loads of fucking this and that, and you're kind of like using it as a, no, that's not the right way of going about.
No, right. And you know that there's people that do that sort of shit, like almost as a status play, like, oh, well,
you know, when that's
cool? I was a real hardcore partier.
You know when that's cool?
Probably when you're a teenager.
When you're 20.
Yeah.
When you're in college.
Right, exactly.
That's when it's cool.
Well, and that's...
When you're pushing 30, it's not.
Well, and let's be honest.
It's cool.
Let's be honest and open to the folks here. We're pushing 30, my friend.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
If someone comes to me and is like, hey, man, I'm doing coke on a daily basis. God damn, I would probably say you got a problem. I wouldn't say you're a partier.
I would say that's
an addiction. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna, we're not naive when it comes to the party. Like, we're not sitting here taking fentanyl or having a risk of, like,
right,
taking like a tainted pill because we're addicted to some sort of new thing that the kids are doing on the street. We've been there, done it.
Right.
But that's the thing, these niche communities of whether it be pot smokers, ketamine users,
right,
psilocybin users, DMT users, all things Jeff and I have dabbled in. They're all being used for anti-depression medication in trials.
Well, yeah.
Along with MDMA,
I mean,
which is another interesting drug.
And there's definitely, you know...
But once if again, you were to say that 10 years ago, you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
Like, 10 years ago is when we were... Like, people ask, where did you get DMT? It's like, get the same place where fucking Rogan's saying it. There was an experiment here at UNM.
Right.
And there's a doctor making it here and doing
experiments. There was clinical trials.
So our buddy had a little bit of a plug to this fella, and that's how we got our DMT. So it's like, this is 10 years back. This isn't recently.
I don't even know how exactly true that is in terms of where exactly came from. But I mean, yeah, there's obviously, you know, people out there doing this shit in studies.
Let's be fair, we don't know where it came from.
Yeah, let's be fair.
But we did, if you're going to talk about DMT, people have this weird, I don't know, people talk about it in this weird kind of taboo way, which I've been...
Well, it's almost a fad in a sense now, I would say, where it's like, you know, oh, I'm going to do an ayahuasca
retreat.
I'm going to do, you know...
I don't think that's necessary.
Well, and, you know, my thing is, you know... I guess the thing is, right, is when you're talking about, you know, these sorts of molecules that give you these sorts of experiences, there's going to be different, you know, things for different people that, you know,
I was going to say
might
this.
Work better for some than others.
I was going to say, like, why would Aaron Rodgers, this millionaire quarterback, football star, why would he be seeking these types of things? You know what I mean? Why would he be seeking these types of... ayahuasca retreats, dark retreats.
Well,
and I'm like, anyone, you and I could be seeking, you know what I mean? It's that seeking part
Let me put it this way. Everyone is seeking.
Yes.
Now, as far as what you try to fill that...
Aaron Rodgers just happens to be in some weird place where he wants to do dark rooms and DMT trips and take mushrooms during games and like... People are doing that now. People are taking psilocybin during football games.
There was a baseball player, I believe, in the 70s.
Threw
a perfect game on LSD.
Yeah.
Which is
totally believable.
And this is the thing. Well, there was a documentary, I believe, on HBO even that I feel like I watched that is where I, you know, learned about this thing happening. But my thing with
We'll give him a shout out because he deserves
it. Yeah. I mean, my thing with, you know, all of this is, you know, I think it's better that we moved into a controlled, regulated area.
Doc Ellis. Shout out to Doc Ellis.
On the Pirates, right?
No hitter under the effects of LSD.
On the Pirates.
And yep.
What year do we know?
1979.
There we go. So yeah, 79. Pitching a perfect game on LSD. Now the thing is, though, is like this guy, it probably wasn't his first time taking LSD, to be fair. So it's not to say you're going to, you know, please be aware, people, that you are dealing with serious stuff. You know, don't think you're going to take a dose of LSD and go pitch a perfect game. You know, and that's the disclaimer, right? And this is the issue. And even with like weed, are you know, almost anything, right? Even with pharmaceuticals,
there's just not enough trials.
Well, the thing is that you should never think that anything you take is all upside.
No,
right? There's pros and cons to everything, right? Even the aspirin that you take for a headache it's doing damage to other parts of your body. There's trade-offs to these things, right? And you have to find the right balance for everything, right? And sometimes the right balance for some things means not doing it at all, right? In a sense of, you know, some things in moderation and some things not at all. Because, you know, some things you probably don't want to mess with, like fentanyl, let's say.
Meth.
Right? Methamphetamines you probably, you know, don't want to mess with. And it's not to say that you take it once and you automatically die guaranteed.
Well, even for some
folks. It's very possible.
Alcohol's not the right thing for some folks.
Well,
young or old, you know what I mean? Right. It doesn't jive with people. You know, you cannot do it, brother. You're running yourself, you know what I mean, down a road. There's people who our age, 28, not even 30, who we grew up with, who die of psychosis or whatever it
psychosis.
Is. Or cirrhosis, excuse me. Like regularly. It's like, holy shit, dude. 30 years old?
Well, and I think, you know, that's the interesting thing about the ebb and flow of perceptions, right? There's a certain perception that alcohol is okay if it's done in balance.
Well, because it's at the store.
Well, exactly, right? Well, it's at the store because of the perception, right? We took it out of the store at one point. Yep. And there was still a perception that we wanted it as a country, as a community,
such
as individuals.
Such a weird thing we do.
Right? But here's the thing is a lot of times the issues that pop up with alcohol are when people take it out of control and take it out of balance, right? There's nothing wrong, obviously, with someone having, if me and you wanted to right now to crack open, I like to drink a cider.
Because we can.
Well, not only can we, but the thing is, though, is that that's not the normal thing that we do. And us cracking open one doesn't make us addicted to alcohol, right? But if let's say we did that every time we did the show, or let alone every day individually, where it's like, oh yeah, I drink a 6-pack or a 12-pack every day, right? That's a different story. My thing is everyone has something.
Yeah.
But, you know, some things are worse than other things.
Sure.
Right? And you know.
Yes, we've said this before. It's a interesting road to go down. Like, you should, it should be more of an experimental type, even especially with mushrooms and...
Well, yeah.
Becoming a daily user with mushrooms is a interesting, maybe something I would be interested in.
Maybe you'll make you a better person. It's very possible.
Maybe, that's what Rogan, he was like, it just makes your day funnier. That's what it does. It makes it you're just going to be a little happier.
See, the thing is, though, is like, he doesn't have a real
job.
He doesn't have an average awareness guy type of job, right? We know.
This is the problem with taking advice from folks like that. It's like, Jesus Christ, I don't have time to do an ice bath every morning. I don't want to waste so much. I don't have that much ice.
I don't have that
much
ice.
It's just like, I understand the cold shower stuff. I mean, you're talking to probably... not the healthiest person out there, but I'm sitting at about 6'1", 170. You know what I mean? That's your average dude right there.
Do you take cold showers?
Sometimes.
And I've tried or at least a minute at the end of the shower with cold.
Today I had to, because I couldn't get up today, so I was like...
So you forced yourself up with a cold shower.
Yeah, so it can't... That's fair. It's not going to fucking not help you.
Well, it's not going to kill you.
No, it's not going to... That's the thing, you do it, whether it's a placebo or not, it doesn't fucking matter,
right?
Because it's doing something. If I have to get up and shred and then go home and then go down and do a podcast and possibly go cut down some trees for my buddy, I need something. I need help a little bit.
Right.
Whether it be supplementation, whether it be fucking a cold shower, hot tubs, all those things.
Well,
dude.
And the thing is, though, right, and I think, you know, about
exercise,
about taking advice on certain stuff from people who have a lifestyle that isn't exactly average.
Sure.
You know, I would say that there's ways to simplify it in a sense, right? So a good example is, you know, you can't necessarily do an ice bath, but you can do a cold shower.
You can. There's no excuse.
There's no reason you can't, right? Or you could, at the very least, like I said, I will admit, I love my warm showers, but I do challenge myself, and I won't even say all the time, but I definitely have challenged myself to even, hey, the last 30 seconds, I'm going to turn the hot all the way off.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then I'm going to turn the cold all the way off and, you know, endure it for a minute.
Sure.
And it's good to challenge yourself like that, because it does help build mental resilience in a sense. But my point is, you know, maybe there's sometimes has to be ways to simplify, you know, you know, I don't know if you can, you know, and you obviously have to be wary depending on what state you in, you're in. But if you can't necessarily take mushrooms for 30 days straight, 1 gram, you know, maybe
some people aren't in,
you
that,
know, if you're in a state that has that sort of clinical, you know, work, maybe look into that. Or
well, this is what worries me about
something else.
It doesn't worry me about legalization. I think people should be allowed to fucking do a gram of mushrooms for 30 days in a row if they want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, that's really what you want to do. Halfway through that, you're going to understand if you want to keep going. You don't have to go all 30 days. This isn't like a fucking trial.
Well, the tricky point, though, too, is, I mean, most people, how are they going to get 30 days where they can be on mushrooms? Unless you're, I guess, you know, you have no responsibilities.
Well, you're making the choice that the mushroom is going to, is less than a psychedelic at that point. You could almost say.
But if you have a legitimate job.
But that's what I'm
you
saying.
You can't, like, go to work on a gram of mushrooms.
All you can do is experiment, right?
I mean,
like, whether it be a gram or a half gram, if you, you can know, go to work and it makes your work day better, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. People are trying it in that sense, not really as a psychedelic.
I agree, right? But without the proper legal protections, because a workplace isn't going to accept that. I mean, I've heard of certain workplaces where you're
just wide-eyed as fuck.
you're going to have to just open mouth. Yeah, you don't
and wide-eyed. You don't. And your coworker comes up to you and is like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Yeah.
You're just like, "What's wrong with you?"
You can't do that. And you obviously, most people can't take 30 days off of work.
That's the interesting part about millions of people listening to a dude who doesn't have like a real
That's my point. 9 to 5. That's my point. Yeah, he can do something like that, and he can be like, "Oh well, I just trained him. Like, I did my normal stuff on it, but my normal stuff isn't."
Yeah, I just did sauna, you know, and fucking ice bath for 2 hours straight.
Yeah. Well,
what's your excuse, pussy?
Well, the other thing is, like, you know, is he having someone drive him around?
Oh,
you know, obviously there's a.
It's all at his house.
So he doesn't
this
even
is,
leave.
Yeah, he, yeah.
So that's
this
my
is,
point, right?
Is this
that
is the beauty of
he
money.
Can,
yeah.
He can be in that position, have all his food and groceries delivered, someone go out and get him. I mean, definitely.
Well, this is what happens
when
he has
to have assistance.
Well, when you get wealthy, people have, you don't do anything.
You have employees.
You don't do anything.
Yeah.
You do your...
That's the beauty of capitalism, giving people jobs. But it does create situations where these people are disconnected from, and maybe not even disconnected, but they obviously know that their life they're living is not exactly arranged the same way that you know,
Joe Rogan
regular
is.
Guys like us are living.
Sure. And we are fucking... don't get me wrong. I'm very fucking privileged.
We don't have assistance, though.
What's the right word? I'm very... We're very... If you're in America right now...
We are the top percentage of wealth that's ever existed in the world for humanity.
Let alone if you're sitting there like a Joe Rogan figure where you're like... You just got paid $150 million. You don't have to really do a podcast every day. You don't really have to do anything.
Well,
he gets to
do what he wants to every day.
Yeah,
that's the thing. He does do it, and he's lucky because
that's
he gets to make money
off of it. That's what makes the podcast great. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Someone who has a 9 to 5 can't do that.
Or someone who treats their podcast like a 9 to 5, where like, "Oh, God damn it, I have to do that shit again." Like,
that's
not going to be the same, right? You want to, you want someone who, you know, like the beauty of his situation, or I've even heard like Sam Harris talk about it this way, where it's like, "I'm getting paid to do something I would love to do, where I get to read books, have interesting conversations with people."
He likes doing it.
Like, you know,
this
obviously,
is why we're doing this
that
right
creates
now.
An authenticity in regards to having the conversations.
Well,
you know, someone like Sam Harris isn't necessarily giving, I would say, you know, life advice in the same way that maybe Joe Rogan might be, or just, you know, there's also people out there. They don't even have to be famous people.
I don't even think they're giving life advice.
There's millions of podcasts though, where you have people who are giving advice that's disconnected from a reality
let me be clear,
an average person lives for the most part.
Let me be clear about this show. I'm not giving anyone advice here. I don't give a fuck what you do. We're giving you our perspective on how we see things right here. Same with Rogan. Same with Sam Harris. You don't have to see them as fucking like this advice fucking I need to do exactly what they say, because that's not what it is.
No,
but that's not how I see anybody.
We're talking about a certain set of intellectuals in a sense, or public intellectuals.
I knew working out was good before before Rogan was just like touting it. You know what I mean? I was lifting weights, you know.
But not
I mean?
Everyone does, though, right? That's so some
the
of them are getting, in a sense, people,
so saying on the last
people are taking advice from it. You don't think that some, you know, people listen to someone like Jordan Peterson for advice.
Well, I remember if you would look in the mirror and like your physique. I think I was talking about this last podcast, or may have been talking to someone about this. If you were like into your physique and you liked how you looked out, almost you'd be fucking, what is it, conceited. Now it's just like everyone goes to the gym. They're all videotaping their content. They all have fucking Instagrams. They all put like they all want to be. You know what I mean? So back in 10 years ago, it was just like,
well, you know what's changed that? You go to the gym. You know what's changed that? I think in a sense,
Instagram,
social media, yes.
100%.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, I wouldn't even say it's anything about like being a gym person. I think it's in general, social media has made people more conceited because sure. It's about what can I post
yes. That's
going to get me the most. Likes are the most reactions, the most comments, the most engagement from other people.
I'll be honest.
Because as a user, that's what you do. And it depends on the circles you're in, right?
Look at the most influential people in the world. They're in the gym. You know what I mean? If we're talking podcasts, we're talking YouTubers, most of them are usually in the gym or have some sort of base of routine that they have. You know what I mean? Whether it be physical.
It doesn't even have to be, you know, anything to do with podcasters. Just look at most, you know,
anything.
Most successful people have an exercise routine, a meditation routine.
Yes.
Journaling routines.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and one book I would recommend on all of this is Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. And it's really just distilled notes from, you know, conversations he's had with people through his podcast. And, you know, those are some of the things he points out, too, that like these are just commonalities that these people say they do. Waking up early is another one. I think that, you know, a lot of successful people generally tend to wake up earlier than
later.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. And then you'll
But
that doesn't correlate, you know, because there are successful people who don't get up early.
Well, here's the thing, though. There's always, and this is the thing, right? There's always going to be edge cases and one-offs. In a certain sense, right? But it's about, you know, generally these are the types of steps that people take to get to success.
Yes.
You know, there could be a successful banker who maybe is addicted to coke, but it's like doing cocaine is not the pathway to success generally. It does, you know, you don't start with the cocaine. If like you could say all rock stars party, but not everyone that parties becomes a rock star. Right. In the sense that you don't start with the drug use first and then try to play an instrument. You know, usually those guys are dedicated to their music and then fall into bad traps because of having wealth and having money and maybe just access to, you know, things they want. But I guess my thing, and it's tricky, right? Because with advice, I think, you know, obviously it'd be foolish to say there's not clear ways that are going to make you better off than worse off. Right. And I think it should be fine to tout that stuff, right?
And I think the
tricky part is, though, is when you get into something like taking mushrooms for 30 days straight, it's not a guarantee that that's going to work out well for every person.
Or pushing, yeah. I remember right? I was listening to the Russell Brand. He was on, and he was like, he was just pushing Russell, like, why don't you try psychedelics now? Like, you're a clean man. Right. And it's like, dude, you don't realize I was a fucking on-the-street drug addict.
Right.
You know what I mean? No matter how much success you have after being a fucking drug addict, that's all you think about. And right. Then you have a guy like Rogan, like, why don't you do like fucking psychedelics? You're a different person now. You should do a DMT like retreat. And Russell Brand's like, dude, I've been addicted to heroin.
It's hard
for me to do any sort of mind altering drug for some people who have been to that place.
Well, and that's my point about, you know, there's different. You know, it's going to be different for different people. You're dealing with serious stuff. We're also, once again, there's a disclaimer that medically, you know, everyone is different. And also legally, there are differences in what's going on, right? So, you know, be aware, people. Don't necessarily, you know, consult your lawyer and physician before taking any compounds.
For sure.
You know, but my thing is, you know, definitely... You know, once again, there's no one size fits all thing. I think a lot of people want to find that magic thing where it's like, I did that and my whole life turned around. Right. And I think that's kind of somewhat what psychedelics is becoming in certain circles, because it is a very much a thing of like, oh, if I could just do some DMT, I'd be Jesus after that. Basically, I'd be turned around. I'd be a saint, like Saint Patrick, as you admire. But you know,
if I recall,
it's not a perfect guarantee for everyone. It's not a magic pill, people.
If I recall
for anything,
Jeff, our DMT days, it's not like I can go back and kind of, I guess I could take lessons from it as a life-changing thing, but I can't.
You could do that with anything in your life in a sense, right? Once
sure.
you look back. And I agree.
It's a weird thing that happened.
But that's the way the culture has somewhat changed, right? There's this There's this group of people who are intentionally looking for, you know, meaning and purpose through the experience of psychedelics, where obviously as you know,
youngsters, we were just trying to do.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly the purpose or goal.
That's an early, it's an early, but that's the thing. It's an early age to see that side of a psychotic. That's why I don't really have, like, I don't know. Some people have psychotic. I think everybody will have a psychotic break in their life where they're just overwhelmed with anxiety, right?
Well, I think,
and I think it's normal. It's not. That I wouldn't even call that.
Don't call it a psychotic break necessarily. I'd just say
no. A psychotic break's different.
Everyone gets overwhelmed with anxiety at various points in the day in their life. Some people more than others. Let's put it that way.
But yeah, I think with the DMT usage and past psychedelic usage, you can almost accept that. Oh, it's really not. You can almost get past it because and most people haven't experienced it, so it's a different thing.
But I don't think that that's a guarantee either.
Sure.
Because to be fair, someone could also take something like that and have a legitimate psychotic break.
Yes.
Right?
Same with edibles. Same with marijuana.
Same with...
Some people, they're not made for it.
Same with even some pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
You know, so this is my point, right? There's no, you know, when it comes to... Just, you know, and we've talked about this before, man. It's funny, you know,
we're owned by
the quick fix. There's this very much this culture in America, and you know, I'm sure it's not just America, but this is what we know, what we experience. There's very much this culture of like, I want the quick fix.
Yep.
I just want to take that magic thing that's going to fix my life, turn everything around for me, and I can just ride the wave and not have to do any of the work for it, right? And I get that people need, some people help need the help to get the kickstart. But it has to be realized that you know, you can't just, you know, take the kickstart and not do any of the work, I guess, you know, because I get it. Some people may need, you know, certain things to help them through difficult times or to help them because of certain, you know, specific challenges that they're dealing with. Right. But my point is that you can't just rely on the quick fix. You can't just say, well, once I do the 30 days of mushrooms, I'll never get angry again at anyone.
Or 30 days of Xanax.
Or any.
30, you know what I mean? What's the difference?
Or 30 days of meditation.
I think both are dangerous.
30 days of anything, right?
I think both are dangerous. You could say you could be. I would have fear of both. If your doctor came to you and was like, hey, I recommend taking this light SSRI for 30 to 90 days and then come back to me with how you feel. You come back, you're just like a crazy person. You know what I mean?
Not even crazy.
Or maybe you're helped completely.
Or maybe you're just, you know, generally sedated. But
yeah, you come back and you're just a zombie. Like, fuck.
I mean,
you like that.
So, and exactly right. And that's my thing is you definitely want to be wary of anything that's presented as a quick fix. Right. And you know,
that's what I was saying.
Once again, maybe even if you do need that help, right? You can't just expect to take the pharmaceutical or anything and say, okay, well, that's going to solve the problem and I don't have to do anything else to worry about it, right? Because what happens is you either become dependent on that thing, right? Or if you take it away, you know, you start to decline again in a sense where, you know, if you haven't done any of the work and, you know, something like you've said before, you know, hey, are you drinking enough water? Are you getting some vitamin D? Are you working on implementing some exercise, right? And once again, it's got to be, you know...
There needs to be a middle ground.
It's better to do it than not. And if you feel like you're not doing enough, that's where you got to start somewhere and then start improving on the margins, right? Pushing the needle just 1% at a time.
One at a time.
You know? And I mean, that's...
It's not going to be perfect.
No. And I will say that's been, you know, that's the story of my life, right? In the sense of, you know... continually you're trying to push the needle to be better. And sometimes you fail. Sometimes you fall backwards. Sometimes you get distracted in life because life happens, right, folks?
You're going to get knocked off the horse, as they say.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not.
You have to expect that.
Yes.
You might as well get off the horse sometimes just to be prepared in a certain regard. I mean, you know, we're stretching the metaphor.
We all know what it takes. I think that's the key. I think everyone, we all know what it takes to be our best selves. You know what I think,
you know, most people know the right thing to do.
But we're fighting against shit every day.
Well, I think
you're fighting against your phone.
That has to do with the seeking.
Yeah, and you're fighting against...
You're seeking for it, so you indulge in these things that feel good in the moment.
Yes.
But don't last long term, you know. And a lot of times I tell myself, you know, you got to look at the long term over the short term. And I'm not the first person to say that. There's plenty of the people that say it, right? And you know, and once again, this goes back to something I said earlier. The real truth is you have to find balance, because sometimes it's okay to enjoy the short term, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you can't put all of your chips in one basket. In that sense,
it's a tough situation for a lot of people
who aren't in that tough. I get it. You know,
we're there.
Yeah.
We're going through it with you,
average people of America and the world.
We are here going through similar things, similar mental aspects, similar mental hurdles. As like you said, you can say millionaires don't need to seek, or they're not. You know what I mean?
No, everyone is.
They might be seeking more than I.
Oh, well, 100%. And I think it would even hit you harder.
But you have to go back to the.
Well, look at it this way.
You have to go back to the fortune. You have to go back to the fortunate. That's what I always go back.
Yeah.
You have to go back to, I have a job, I have a family, I have two legs. Bare minimum. You have to go back to the bare minimum. I'm in the USA.
And some people might say.
And some people just don't go back to that place. They're just like, I need the new car, or I need the new fucking place. I need a bigger house.
Well, and everyone's going to be different. There might be some people who say, well, I don't have some of those things, right? There are people that don't have two legs.
Sure. You know, but all they want is two legs.
But exactly. Well, and I will say, though, no matter who you are, there's something you can find to be grateful for.
Oh, yes.
Even if it's the smallest thing, or even if it's just something that you enjoyed within that day, right?
Yes.
So, you know,
I find a hobby, for fuck's sake. That's a big one, too. I don't even care if it's the gym. Go figure out a golf stroke. Go figure out something. Like, golf is expensive. Don't get me wrong. Life's expensive. Everything's going to suck. You're going to suck at everything. Everything's going to be expensive.
Well, here's the
thing,
though.
Every hobby's not going to be fucking perfect.
If you grow one with gratitude, you can find joy in even simple activities.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I find you have to. Yeah. That's the key. I mean, hobbies and things, especially as a single American man, you know what I mean? That's what keeps me going. You know what I mean? Just hobbies, my friends.
And some people, you know,
sure, I mean,
they have
now,
kids, they have family, they have parents. Or
there's plenty of people who don't have kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know I mean, there's plenty of older folks, celebrities, regular old people, they just never have kids. You know what I mean? Not to say I'm never going to have kids. You know what I mean? That's just a negative.
Well, and even if you do have kids, at some point they grow up and move on.
Yes.
Right? You're going to go back to a point where you know, are primarily, even if you're married, right? Like, you're basically back to just like you and your you know, significant other. Or, you know, like you said, you're
but
back
like
to
you
yourself
said,
at
if,
some
if,
point.
If you're at a weird place where you're struggling to even fucking take care of yourself, you know what I mean? Do you even think about kids?
So, well, the interesting thing is, though, and you know, for me, I think I don't know if I started caring for myself until I had kids.
Sure.
You know, it was you almost, don't even, you know, yeah. Having kids that reshapes your understanding of having meaning and purpose. And it's not to say that, you know, my wife didn't help in that sense, too. But it's definitely different when it's just, you know, you and your significant other. You know, you can live a different lifestyle in that sense compared to once you have kids, it, you know, changes everything.
You
know, and
that's where I'm.
And I'm not saying that necessarily. You know, I'm not saying I get that it's not going to be something that everyone gets to do for various reasons. And there's not to say that, you know, those people can't find purpose. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, I mean, some people,
it's a fantastic purpose.
It can give you purpose and shape purpose. And I think, though, too, you know, maybe people just need that help sometimes.
Some people like
and it
having
doesn't have to be kids.
Some people just like having kids with multiple women.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? That's their goal.
Multiple purposes.
Yeah, sure. But it's it's just a game to some folks, and some it's a beautiful monogamous.
Well, and it's just
gold
it
relationship.
Gives you a reason to take. You know, it's helping you understand that, hey, I'm responsible for something. But look at it this way: it doesn't even have to be kids. You can have, let's say, you have a nice house. You can get some purpose of, hey, I'm going to take care of this place.
Sure.
I'm going to take care of the yard. I'm going to make sure I keep up on the stuff.
You think a pet?
Any sort of pet could be
tiger?
That purpose.
Bear?
A tiger, a bear, a lion. Oh, my. But,
well,
you know.
That's where we need to get back to freedom, right?
Well, like, and I think, you know,
people.
The other thing is even, you know, a car. Someone might want to take care of
I'm obsessed with vehicles, and it's a problem.
I mean,
some people have mental illness.
He comes here every time and
with a new vehicle, which is fine. Some people like cars. Some people like motorcycles. Some people like bicycles.
And some people don't care at all about
some
those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like something else.
They
right?
have no clue.
No, and I think, you know,
I'm degenerate. I like cars, gambling, pot. You know what I mean?
Podcasting. There you go.
That's the four things. Four. Educating yourself further. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, people obviously,
some people aren't interested in pushing their knowledge or pushing their thoughts. You know what I mean? Some people just aren't there. You know,
I agree.
Like some people I can't have a conversation with in the same aspect, you know, pre-podcast, we can have a conversation about things that some people, they just roll their eyes, right. Relatives, good friends, you know what I mean? But I can come here to Jeff and say usually anything, and it's not going to be like,
except for asking me to go to gun
and
shows.
Surprisingly, his wife, surprisingly,
yeah,
she's not going to say any, she's not going to.
Well, obviously, she's
not going to look down.
She
has
to listen to me, you know.
So. Well, she doesn't look like she's looking down on us. After I leave.
She may.
But some people, that's why I've said this many times on the show. I just hope people have a place they can go to speak openly, not just text, not just like with their significant other. Because I understand some people, they just can't say the things they want to say with their significant others. You know what I mean? That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a weird place. I don't want to be in a place with a woman where I can't tell her anything. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I have friends who it's like, I can't tell her this, I can't tell her that. It's like, dude, you're in the wrong place.
I mean, here's the thing I'll say, right?
Meg isn't like that.
Well, no. And here's the thing, though, is I can say anything that I want, but it doesn't mean that she's going to like everything I say.
No.
And that's what most people are worried about.
She's not going to leave, though.
I don't want the backlash of someone being mad at me. And it doesn't have to do with just spouses, right? Most people don't speak their mind on everything because they don't want to deal with the backlash of someone either not understanding them or misinterpreting them or just being mad at what they're saying.
What's wrong with saying I want to go to the club tonight?
What's wrong with saying I want to go to the gun show?
Yeah, no. The gun show, whether it be anything. You know, I want to be with someone who's like, oh, that's fine. But that's not what a relationship is now. You know what I mean? It's a different game.
I would just say it depends. I mean, it depends on what's going on. I think though,
this is coming from a very single person.
Yeah, I was going to say your perceptive, perception is one.
But that's the thing.
As a very married person, on the other end of the spectrum here,
when you're single, does depend. When you're single as fuck, though, you almost take like, you just start to see things other couples are doing. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, that's a happy couple, but there's this, and this that's happening.
There's a health. Well,
yes. You know what I mean?
Let's put it this way. There's, you know,
what I see, right?
Yeah. What you see is, you know, also one side of the presentation, right? Because there's obviously a private performance going on between any couple, no matter, you know, who it is, 100%. What, you know, if it's heterosexual or not.
There's an agreement happening.
Well, and there's just a, you know. Let's put it this way, and I think this is the case for everyone. It has nothing to do with couples. Every individual does this, where there's a cover story and there's the true story, right?
Sure.
Where, you know, and that's something I've heard Glenn Lowry talk about, and he has a memoir that he's been working on, hopefully coming out soon this year, I hear. But he's talked about that, right? Where there's, you know, the cover story that he told himself about his, you know, career and trajectory, and the true story that, you know, it's like, you know, it's there, but you almost don't want to acknowledge it. Right. And the cover story is that story that you,
well, what's that quote?
You know, you're giving to everyone else on the outside, as well as you're trying to like sell yourself on it as well a little bit.
Sure.
Because we have a tendency as humans to paint ourselves in the most positive light and look at others in less positive
lights. You're like, oh, that couple sucks. You know what I mean?
Well, that or just like, oh, my intentions are good, but theirs, how could they have thought that was a smart idea?
That's not how I would. Yeah.
And that can happen in the workplace, in relation. That can happen in any, you know, relationship between two humans where they're doing something, right? Whether it's working together, living together, raising a family together, whatever it may be. And that's human nature, man. We are interesting creatures, to say the least.
For sure. Interesting dynamic of the female male household as it is right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
men and female.
I think it depends. Right. And there's different, you know, every household is different. Right. And I think, you know,
I think that's an understatement.
I mean, yeah, there's no way to, you know, definitely underscore the fact that, yes, every household is going to be different because you're going to have different individuals in that household, right?
Sure.
Who are, were raised differently, come from different experiences based on every single minutia of detail of their life, right?
Minutia.
But, you know, I think the thing is that, you know, like you said, there's general signs of, you know, happiness and general signs of, you know, discontent that someone can display in their life, whether they're single, married, whatever the case may be.
Yes, millionaire, trillionaire.
Billionaire. And I think some of that does, you know, depend on that level of seeking in a sense, because I feel like the harder that you're seeking, or, you know, the more that you're seeking for something that's unattainable, or maybe just you have a never ending seeking thing where, you know, the hole just continues to expand no matter what you put in a sense. You know, where you're, you know, basically, yes, you know, jumping from one desire to the next, maybe.
Seeking something that's missing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say so.
Which I think everybody kind of has, but...
But at a certain point, you have to know when to say...
I hope it's not just...
I have enough.
Yeah, and I hope it's not just sitting there, like, on your phone, or, like, sitting there just scrolling away, or just watching Netflix every fucking day. Like,
well, and maybe there's a way to...
You know what I'm
saying.
Maybe
the way to put this is there's positive forms of seeking and negative forms of seeking.
Yes.
Which is interesting because it's almost, you know, there is positive ways to go about trying to find meaning, and there's negative ways to trying to go about finding meaning.
Yes.
I think if you're abusing anything, like a psychedelic, let's say, you know, if you think, oh, I take a gram of mushrooms in the morning and then a gram of mushrooms at night. You know, obviously you probably, you know, and if that's your daily routine for years on end, I mean, that's probably an issue.
And your life. Yeah. But if it's your routine and you have this fantastic life, you know what I mean? And it's just like, and this is what your routine is. And this is, I built this thing that we've talked about. I do all the things I'm supposed to.
Right.
I do all of these disciplinary type things. I tell myself I'm not going to. And all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Do you put that on the mushrooms?
Well,
you put that on yourself.
I think that's interesting because it once again shows.
What if it takes you to that place?
Perceptions matter, right?
And but if you don't try.
Because if your life is in a good state, then whatever you're doing, it must work for you. If your life is in a bad state, it's like, well, what's the issue here? Oh, you take mushrooms every day? That's probably why your life is bad, right? Where, like, let's just put it this way. There are people out there in the world who take too much mushrooms and aren't living their best life.
Well, it's
there's
over.
Also people
it's,
who are yes. taking some probably and probably living their best life.
Well, this is the
and
problem.
And that goes for anything, right?
That's the problem with prohibition. That's the issue with not knowing what kind of mushrooms you got, not knowing what kind of stuff is happening. You know what I mean? Eventually, you're going to be able to go to the store. This is the most potent one.
So
this is the least potent.
It'll be something like at the pharmacy.
Yes.
Almost.
This
where
is
it's
least
like,
potent. This
you know,
is
the
most
doctor
potent.
Prescribed you this potency, and it's in a capsule.
But instead, you get some dude who walks, like, you get some dude who fucking
What's
takes
up,
a...
bro?
You need here's that. A half ounce. You can take all of them. I don't give a fuck.
Bro,
you take all of them, and then you're...
This shit's
you're tripping. Never, you're never yeah. the same. Or you don't see people's faces anymore. Like our, like I got a buddy who
that
just...
Or you just get extreme anxiety.
Yeah, and you can't see people's... I mean, you're messing with some real shit. That's
my point about finding the balance. And, you know, once again, you...
But there's a point where you're messing with real shit and you may be benefiting some real shit, too. That's where the balance is. And I think with more experimentation and more... examination, if you will, like
scientific study
we'll
people
figure out what is
the
best
science.
Yeah,
you know, you
is
gotta
ketamine maybe best? Was being a zombie, I don't think that's fucking the best.
Well, here's one other thing I would like to point out
up.
Though if you say best, a lot of that's a comparison to what, right?
Sure.
So not, you know, is it the best for you compared to nothing or compared to something else, right? So, you know, those are questions that have to be asked, right? And I think, like you said, you know,
I think suffering and not doing anything.
The prohibition of it doesn't help.
But what would you rather do? Go try these things? You know what I mean? You're suffering, right? You're just suffering away. You keep going to the doctor. They're just like, here, take a fucking Xanny. Or I think you need an Adderall. Just all pharmaceuticals, all compounds. And then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? And then you fear these natural things that grow out of the ground. You're completely scared. Well, maybe not ketamine. It's not natural at all. But like psilocybin, THC, CBD, all these things you have fear of because of basically propaganda. Let's be clear. It's not fear. It's your own, you're scared because somebody else told you to be scared. That's the only reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you have legit experience, but you're not scared. But you're not scared, like freaked out that your doctor's handing you like a fucking an also brain altering fucking substance that's not natural at all.
Right.
But you're like, that's fine, doc.
And this is my point about perception.
This
right?
is crazy.
It's perception.
We're living in a fucked up perception, like really bad, dude.
Right. Where we have
think about it.
We trust these compounds
more than we trust anything we've used for thousands of years.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with having. Options.
Some people probably think I'm a kook every time I say fucking supplements, but that's the thing. And then some people know that they have benefits.
Well,
it
depends on the supplement, right?
Sure.
And I think here's the thing, right? And something that matters is that having regulated markets
doesn't mean I'm going to stop taking them because you fucking think, know what I mean?
My point is, though, is we should take it out of the land of kookiness by having it in regulated markets where, you know, like you said, experimentation can be done and people can also know that they're getting legitimate shit, because the issue now, right, especially with a lot of drugs out on the streets, is you don't even know if it's fentanyl or not, right? And you're taking a gamble. So now you have a twisted, marketplace of the black marketplace, in the sense of, you know, things are being done under the table and in
the
streets.
There's so many beneficial things. Yes.
You know, we don't even know what's really going on. And this was the case for a lot, marijuana was in this bucket for a long time. And we're barely starting to see that generate out where now,
it'll be an interesting day when it's going to be interesting when marijuana is laced with fentanyl.
It already is, I would argue.
Probably
out in the streets for certain people that aren't aware buying in certain places, and it's possible that that's happening, right?
It's totally possible.
Now I think this
sprayed
is the,
or something.
This is the well, and even that
heavy
right?
pesticides,
using pesticides,
no regulation,
or having spider mites or something where it can have some sort of fungus growing.
But this
within
is the
it
disturbing thing that it takes shit like. It takes stuff like that to get to regulation. It takes people getting sick off fungus and sick off of bad trips or possibly really bad trips.
But
because
that's how
it's
most,
not there.
But that's how most regulations are built, right? Look at 9/11. Yeah. We didn't have a TSA before 9/11 in the same sense that, I don't know, we might have had a TSA, but the way they operated
right.
is a lot different.
Correct. I think you're correct.
Yeah, but I mean, either way, the point is that we add new regulations when an emergency happens because we realize, oh shit, we obviously have to, do something about this. Mm-hmm. And you want to have the right touch of regulations, obviously. You don't want to have too many for, the wrong reasons, because then you might be stunting the marketplace.
Well, then you're
Uganda. But you also want to have the right regulations.
Well, then you're sitting there like Ugandan countries. You're like, no gays or homosexuals or trans at all.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say...
All persecution. Jeff agrees with this. Jeff's moving to Africa.
You got to stop with that.
Jeff's moving to Africa after this podcast.
Gaslighting me here.
It's my favorite thing to do.
But no, I mean, my thing is, and apologize here. You probably hear a kid. Sounds like
I hear a child out there.
There's a kid crying out there. People.
Speaking
and
of children,
this is what you'd have when you're an average fella. But I think with the Uganda thing, I definitely
that's
don't
not
agree
regulation.
With. I don't agree with any of that, and that's not regulation. Is the other thing, right?
Yeah.
I think regulation we should think of as very specific to marketplaces, especially something like banking. We saw some banking failures that people are questioning regulations
holy
now.
Shit.
But my point is you got to have the right touch of regulations. My other point would be definitely don't condone what's going on in Uganda. I am, condemning said actions in that country.
I appreciate you making that clear.
Yeah. But I think, and this is where we've talked about this before, where, this is the issue when you get so caught in an ideological bubble, right? Where you can't see both sides of the argument, or you're just so caught up in the rabbit
hole.
That's
what worries me about. Right? It's been a little quiet in the news lately. There must be some rambling happening politically soon. I feel something coming on. I feel like we're going to bomb somebody.
Well,
but this is just my bold prediction. I mean, we've been wrong or right before, but like you said, someone a Russian plane hit our drone, and there's footage of that.
There's footage of that. There also, though, has been some recent airstrikes between an Iranian group and the U.S.
Huh.
So that's something that has been breaking within the last days. I know
this could all just be crumbling on us before the next episode, people.
The society hopefully will be standing by the end of, you know, by the time this gets published, I would very much hope that society is still standing, as well as exactly. Obviously, you know, by the time we get to the next episode, hopefully society is still standing.
Hopefully Jeff and I haven't
and
been.
I'm sure it will be. Enlisted as drone pilots.
Yep, we're going to be drone pilots because we have some computer. Not much.
I work on a computer for my current job, so I mean, I know how to, you know.
You can use a computer.
I could check an email. Is it as hard as checking email?
I could zero in on some civilians.
Well, there's one thing that a drone could
do. That's what drones, drones aren't fucking, what's the right word? They're not picky when it comes to people. You know what I mean? It's just a robot.
Well,
end of the day, like,
but a human is controlling it, right?
Like, I was working for a contractor the other day. We do a lot of work near the base, the Air Force base here. It's like just a bunch of this interesting work, and it's like, do you think these dudes think about, like, maybe my equipment that I'm making is contributing to? They're probably just thinking contributing to freedom, not death, right? They're just I'm making these, I'm taking these orders from the military, you know, whether it be a parachute, whether it be a fucking, you know what I mean? I'm taking all these orders, and are you proud? You're like, oh, this is for freedom. This is what it's for. I don't know what they're doing with it, but basically at the end of the chain is you know what I mean? You're this little contractor in the United States.
Yeah,
just kind of giving out. They don't think like that. How I was thinking when I was working. I was like, holy shit, these people have blood on their hands.
I think that's an exaggeration
if there's no one making the things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like the fucking soldiers aren't making the fucking equipment.
Here's the issue, though, when we're dealing with the reality of, you know, geopolitics and, you know,
freedom,
humanity, right, is that you obviously can't, you know, have you have to have some sort of military.
Well, this is a different sector of human beings.
Well, I'm just saying, though, that if your country had no military, other countries are going to take advantage of that fact, right?
But I think we're starting to realize that the propaganda of we have the strongest and best and, like, you know what I mean? Is that the truest? I don't know.
Well, I don't.
Does China have more capability or Russia have more capability? Just because they tell us every day and they use the guy on Creed to fucking. There's another commercial that I don't agree with. The guy from Creed is on a fucking U.S. Army commercial now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't watch commercials.
But that's here nor there.
Yeah, okay? All I would say is that, you know, my thing is. You know, that one, I have another kid.
There's kids around the studio, dude.
Kids all about today.
Studio is just filled with
children.
You
know, I would just say that, you know.
We'll wrap it up here.
These other places aren't, you know, necessarily the best places either. And they might not be telling the truth. So look at Russia. They tried to invade Ukraine. The U.S. thought it'd be done in days. Everyone thought it'd be done in days. And yet the Ukrainians continue to push them back. Now, granted, that's based on aid that's been provided from NATO and the West. But the point is, right, is that they're not like super killing machines because.
Whoa.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, Russia hasn't necessarily bulldozed over Ukraine. And you know, granted,
we'll take a
look
at the news after
this. Yeah, there's, you know, the nuclear option.
There's always that nuclear option.
But I would argue that we have that option as well, right? With any nuclear...
Would we nuke them for them nuking Ukraine? No.
No, but the point is that if you really wanted to get into it, we still do have a lot of power because of that fact, right? You know, so I don't know. And I agree with you that, you know, are we necessarily the best? I don't know, but, you know, I think it would benefit the world that we're better off than, you know,
yes,
than China necessarily. Because I think, you know, looking at the systems, people don't immigrate to China. People immigrate to the United States of America.
Sure.
Right. And, you know,
I love every time you say
the feet don't lie. People want to be here. we've, you know, hey, we've taken in a lot of immigrants this year.
Oh my God, and, dude. I'm saying it again. I have not seen more Mexico plates and vehicles in this state than I drive around Albuquerque, New Mexico all day, basically. And I have never seen so many Chihuahua fucking Mexico plates everywhere, dude. Foreign vehicles like Volkswagens that we don't even get here. Helixes, like vehicles you don't see here, dude. Right. And you're like, oh, fuck, what is that? And then, oh, shit, it's Mexicans. I have not. I'm just saying what I'm observing.
Well,
by the plate, that's all I'm saying. It's interesting.
I don't get out as much as Jake, so I can't confirm or deny.
Like, this is just a firsthand two-eyeball view of what I see.
This is an average guy.
I'm not going out looking for Mexicans. But I do, like, glimpse at plates. I'm not a fucking driver.
I do, too, and I always find it. Anytime I see a plate that's not New Mexico, I look.
I follow them.
I follow them to where they're going.
So stupid.
But no, it could even be a different state, right? Like, I mean, I definitely do.
Or look, you stay away from them.
I look at license plates because, one, you know, when you see that the design is different, you obviously know it's a different state.
You see, like, an Alaska license plate down here, you're like, whoa.
Well, no, absolutely. Or I've seen, like, Vermont.
Hawaii?
I have seen a Hawaii one out here.
It's so weird. People keep their... all that is, I think they just keep their citizenship.
Yeah.
Dual state citizenship. Well, and there's
people who also just, you know, they've just moved here.
People ship cars out there, too. I went there last year, and my buddy's sister had a car shipped out there from here.
I mean, yeah.
Because there's not many cars. They just rust. Just imagine you're on the ocean, right? So it's just salt water. Yeah. So all the vehicles just rust from the bottom. So there's not like dealerships. There might be. I'm not going to say there's zero dealerships, right. But there's not like good used dealerships. So people will just be like, hey, fucking drive my car to California, put it on a fucking ship for $2,000. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And there's different ways of living out there in the world.
Hawaii's a fucking wild one because we can just go a little. We didn't even talk about St. Patrick's Day, which is a shame. Jeff, I was going to explain the story of it, but we'll just wait for another day.
We'll wait till next year, Jeff.
Hey, next episode. There'll be
another St. Patrick's Day. That's the thing with holidays.
You know what? You
miss one, you got to come in next year.
We should be celebrating it every day.
St. Patrick's Day every day. I'm sure there's some people that would like that. I'm sure that there is,
Why not?
We talked about those people that maybe drink too much. I wouldn't.
God.
You know, I would imagine a St. Patrick, that, you know, maybe that's a good way to put it. It's St. Patrick's Day every day for some people, in the sense of, you know, drinking way too much.
Yes, I'm thankful for that Jeff and I haven't stumbled upon we're not here like fucking, I show up with like an 8-pack of fucking booze. And like a bottle of rum, and we're like, let's do this podcast. No, I'm happy we don't.
I don't know if you guys would get a good podcast if we did that.
And I don't know I don't know if that's something people do, but it's just like, I know people just do that as a hanging. We don't even do that to hang out.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't bring a fucking 6-pack over here to just be like, let's kick the fucking shit and like drink.
Right.
But that's such a normal thing. And I think average awareness is, at least for Jeff and I, we're kind of in the minority when it comes to that, because a lot of people drink socially.
And I agree.
A lot of people they ain't their fucking selves until they're a little lubed up. That may come off a little, you know what I mean? Some people it's like, oh, you're interesting, but you're a different person when you're a little lubed up.
Well, I would
you know what I mean?
I'm definitely a different person if I'm a little lubed up.
100%.
I mean, that's
But I don't need you to be like that every time we hang out.
Well, yeah, and there's some people that they, you know,
like you're just lubed up all the time. So weird. Well, I'm going to start saying that when people are alcoholics.
If you're out there socially lubricating yourself, you know.
Well, that's all alcohol is, right? It's a social lubricant.
It is, and that is a term that people use.
And I don't know if I think that's a dangerous thing. Like, imagine being like, I can't really get social without drinking.
I can't be social without lubricating.
I can't talk to that guy without fucking drinking. That's probably how most of our friends are.
Yeah, I can't talk to him unless I'm lubricated.
I can't talk to that guy.
Lube me up and send me on over.
Guy is impossible to talk to unless we're both lubed up.
Well, this is when we know the podcast has diverted into loopy territory, but we definitely...
But it's true.
You know, yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, it's
true.
It is an interesting place, but is it any different if someone smoking, you know, has to smoke?
I'm the same person.
You're no different. No different.
No, that's the argument, right?
Well, and the thing would be, you know, is...
We've had this conversation.
That say, you know, hey, every time he goes to party, he has to take a half gram of mushrooms.
Sure.
You know, the
or
same...
he has to be on an edible every time.
Or he has to be on an edible.
Is that any different?
Or he has to be on, you know, he has You're to right. have some booze. Fucking... Or he has to have, you know, this or that.
A couple hypocrites right here. A couple cowards.
I mean, my thing is... Once again, it's all about balance, people.
Yes,
I
but
think everyone
again,
has something, is what I would leave the good folks with, is yes. to recognize that everyone has something.
I'm not going
to
sit here and argue one for the other, because one, you could wake up and be shitting yourself and pissing yourself and throwing up, or the other, you could wake up feeling fantastic. You choose.
Yeah, or at the very
least. You know
least.
What I mean? Feeling a little lethargic. That's it.
Yeah.
Or you choose one.
And different people react differently. So yeah. some things could feel worse for others.
Do you
want to
feel like
some.
That every single day? You just wake up every day hungover?
Well.
I don't.
No.
That's why I don't drink every day.
No. Right?
Because that's the consequence of drinking every day.
And it doesn't even have to be that. There's other decisions. So, I mean, let's say that you don't get enough sleep every night because you stay up too late playing video games. Right? You know, and now you have that same hungover grogginess because, oh, I only slept like 3-4 hours before I had to get up for work. You know, I stayed up all night gaming it, or I stayed up all night doing this.
People,
I stayed up all night doing that.
We'll end on that. People, you need to get some good sleep.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what's key. Whatever supplement you think, melatonin is a little dangerous. Like magnesium is a very non-dangerous, non-addictive kind of sedative if anyone's interested. If they don't want to go to their doctor and be prescribed some sort of zombie medication.
Talk to your doctor, I would say.
Magnesium you know, could buy at a fucking... You could buy it...
At a gun show?
At a gun show. You could buy it at Walgreens. It's available. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And funnily enough, next to that convention center, potassium. Not far from the street is Walgreens. So me and you right now could actually take a
We're
trip
going to that
and
gun
get
show.
A bunch of magnesium, a bunch of guns.
Potassium.
Or potassium. Yeah.
The government also bought a bunch of potassium nitrate pills, which I guess are good for radioactive explosions. They kind of fight.
I mean, you would think that we should have had those already.
I think we should.
Right?
Everyone should have a little bit of magnesium, a little bit of potassium, whether it be from a banana, a natural source. This doesn't have to be, when I say magnesium to help you asleep, this doesn't even have to be from a supplement. Find a food that's high in fucking magnesium and eat it.
Just sprinkle magnesium
yeah.
all over it.
There's these, it's not like, yes.
Well.
It's not like a game, it's not like a pharmaceutical that's going
to. Well, yeah, you don't have to go to your doctor
and
have it prescribed.
If your body doesn't use it, guess what you're going to do? Piss it out.
Well, there
that's
you go.
That's it. You're not going to fucking have some sort of.
Isn't that the story with all things? If your body don't
not
need it.
Not Xannies.
You know, come on out. Actually, I don't know if that's true. I think there's been studies where they found
really?
Prozac in fish because of it coming out of urine and then traveling through the system. I've heard of some studies like that.
No.
This was a few years back.
No.
So, you know, you never know
no.
what's in the water.
God damn it.
But I think that, you know.
God damn it.
If I were going to leave the good folks with anything.
Have you ever seen that? This is a final... Final word.
Final diversion.
Have you seen that Dirty Jobs episode where they're...
I mean, I know of the show, but...
Where they're using, like, halibut or some sort of fish that you buy in the market. They use it to cleanse human shit. So there was an episode of Dirty Jobs, you could look it up, where they're... You know what I mean? They're changing brown water into cleanable water, and they're using these fish. And then during the episode, the dude's like, yeah, and then we sell these fish on market, and they're raised by eating human shit. So, and then people go out and buy them
I guess
frozen,
what,
you know
what
I mean?
What would the fish eat otherwise? Like, what would they eat in nature? Do they normally
not
eat
shit?
Shit?
No. Not human poop. Fucking Jeff just nods his head. Seems legit.
Do they normally eat shit? Because that's the first question.
No, they're using them to clean shit as an animal.
Yeah, but they're eating the shit. They must like to
it's
eat
It's not just
it.
Human shit in
like
Alaska.
They must like to eat shit.
What is that? It's a tilapia. That's what it is. It's that flatfish.
But you can go to you can go to Walmart right now and buy.
I'm not much of a fish person, so this luckily saves me from any shit eating. Well, I mean, I guess
other animals we're fortunate as fuck. In 100, 200 years, may not even be able to fucking go buy a fish or a pangolin. You know what I'm saying?
Or yeah,
in 10 years, where are we gonna go? Or we're gonna have is cow meat and chickens and eggs. You know what I mean?
I hate to
Life's
sound,
too short to not fucking try these things. I hate to sound, stop. You know, don't glib, you dare, bro.
But I'm not the biggest fish person, so I think I would survive.
What was the last time you had fish?
The last time I had
sushi,
fish?
Sushi, right?
No.
You sushi, I've though, cocksucker. You like sushi.
First off, this guy getting vulgar. But no, I mean, I would say...
Don't say you don't like fish, and then we had sushi the other day.
It wasn't the other day. This was weeks back, first off. And the sushi roll I had was a green chili sushi roll. So it wasn't even actually sushi. It was green chili with, like, avocado.
Okay, you don't have to get defensive.
I'm just saying...
Explain why you don't...
It's just a taste thing. I don't prefer it. Now, I do eat salmon here and there obviously it's healthy. My wife likes it more. I will say I will eat shrimp if it's cooked the right way.
Shrimp?
Yeah, depending on what it is. But my thing is I'm just not the biggest seafood person. I mean,
and it's it,
you
I
know,
mean,
I'll eat crab legs, obviously. I'll eat like, you know, I would eat probably something.
We're a long
like,
way from the ocean.
Yeah,
that's the other thing
is
people don't like
culturally.
To hear it.
Culturally, I didn't grow up with that sort of food. I grew up with more Hispanic based foods, you know, in the sense of
I love Hispanic based foods, a lot of
beans and tortillas.
I think it's some of the best
like
food.
That.
It's some of the best food, in the world.
And that's my point. That's part of why I don't have the taste for it. And I will say, I'm a very lowbrow person, people. I'm not going to act like I have the highest taste buds or that I'm so...
We're not vegan or anything.
I'm not enlightened and I'm not a foodie in that sense. Don't take food advice from me because I definitely have no idea what I'm talking about. But for me personally, I don't care about fish. And I'm glad that I don't care about fish because obviously the fish are eating shit. So, it sounds like I'm probably better off.
You're right.
At this moment.
Good.
But
that's a good segue right
so
there.
So, with that, fine people.
Be careful what fish you eat.
Be careful what fish
be
you eat.
Be careful who you get lubed up with.
Yeah. And down the rabbit hole we
definitely
went.
Subscribe. Definitely keep, if you're still here.
Yeah. We appreciate you fine folks.
Keep a positive mindset. We'll be here. You could always comment. You could always subscribe.
Share.
You could always go to our social medias and somehow get to us. We'll fight you.
You could also
verbally.
You can also email us at averageawarenesspodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. Please do. We'd be thrilled. Any last words?
Just everyone's got something. Find your balance and have a great, great day. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
I agree. God bless you.